Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, party people, to Ghost Ninja Raccoon. This is a horror movie recap podcast where ICG tell you, my four listeners, the story of a horror movie I watched in 30 minutes or less because I love telling motherfucking stories. And I also love watching horror movies. So I decided to tell you guys stories of horror movies because one, I can tell somebody about this bullshit I watched. And two, you get to listen to me tell you. Guess what, y'all? It's October, and that means that I have foolishly entered myself into a horror movie marathon contest on Facebook, and so that means I gotta watch a gang of shit, y'all, and I gotta watch it all in October, and if I gotta watch it, y'all got to hear about it. So, this is a very special episode that I am henceforth gonna be calling a mini-cap, because I'm gonna do three mini recaps instead of one 30-minute recap. So I'm going to tell you about three movies I watched, because really, I'm probably about to watch like over 100 movies this month, y'all. 100? 100 seems like a lot. I'm going to watch a lot. I don't think I'm going to watch 100, because it's what's today. Today is like the 15th or 16th or some shit, and I'm only probably 15 movies in? Am I 15 in? I might be about 15 in, and I'm hosting my very own horror movie marathon on Saturday, so I'm probably going to watch like five movies on Saturday, but whatever the case. So I'm going to watch three movies, and I'm going to give you a full recap of each movie in its own segment from beginning to end. I will do my Ninja Star rating at the end, as usual. I will also read the recap and all the stuff that I normally do just in a, you know, mini recap. So for the first movie that I'm going to watch, it's called Rabid, and I picked this movie because within this contest, we get bonus points for picking certain directors, and so this one is directed by David Cronenberg. Ooh, excuse me, pardon me. If I was recording this on my microphone, I could edit that out, but I think my son was messing with the motherfucking microphone because I left it on the floor, which is my fault, just like out for him to touch it, and he was touching with all the settings that my friend had set and told me don't change, but they changed because when I turned it on, it made some horrible noises, and now I got to tell her that he fucked it up, and I don't know what he did, and now she got to fix it again. I should be more techie, but I don't have room in my brain for that. I'm using it all for horror movies. Anyway, so I'm sorry, I got distracted. I'm back on my phone with this one, y'all. So I'm watching Rabid, directed by David Cronenberg and starring Marilyn Chambers from Behind the Green Door, Infamy. Now, I didn't even know that, but I watched this with the Joe Bob Briggs drive-in movie theater thingy-majiggy that's on Shudder, and Joe Bob hit me with all these amazing facts about the director and Marilyn and all of this shit, and I was like, damn, this is great. I wish I had him for like all movies, because then I wouldn't have to do, I don't do any research anyway, but if I was gonna do some research, he would have done it all for me and tell me all of this shit that I didn't know. So this movie is from 1977. It is an hour and 30 minutes. It is rated R. It's got 4 stars out of 5 on Amazon Prime, and it is rated 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb. So that's really good, you guys. You guys. So here's what it's about. A young woman develops a taste for human blood after undergoing experimental plastic surgery, and her victim turns into rabid, bloodthirsty zombies who proceed to infect others, which turns into a citywide epidemic. Y'all, that's what it's about. I'm about to go watch it. I would say if that's exactly what it's about, I would probably 70s kind of zombies, kind of not. I don't really love zombie movies. I'm gonna go hard in with a 3 Ninja Star pre-rating on Rabid. It's from the 70s. It's from an acclaimed director. It's probably gonna be good, and it's got pretty good ratings. So what did I say, 3? Actually, let's say 4, because it's already got such good ratings, so that means this movie must be good. So I'm about to go I'm about to go watch Rabbit, and then I'm going to come back and tell y'all about it, and then I'm going to move on to my next two films after that, and we're going to wrap it up at the end, but I'll be back in a second, you guys. All right, folks, so time has passed, and I have watched Rabbit. Let me tell you what it was about. All right, so it opens up with our hot porn star on a motorcycle with her boo cup, and they're like driving through the countryside. It's beautiful. And there's a family that's on like family vacation, and they're lost or whatever, and they are in this RV or van or some shit. And they're trying to turn around
gets stuck, gets stalled out. The motorcycle comes, crashes into them. Terrible accident. Not that terrible, because the dude turns out he just has a few, you know, scrapes and bruises. But porn star is like all fucked up. So, okay, actually, she's really not all that fucked up. They try to make it seem like she's really, really fucked up. But really, like, she's fine. She's not fine, actually. Here's what happened. The motorcycle catches on fire, and the location of the accident happens to be near a plastic surgeon's facility run by Dr. Keloid. And when the accident happens, one of the patients sees the accident, notifies the doctor. They send the ambulance that they have to go to the scene of the accident and bring back the injured. So they bring them back. Like I said, the dude is, I mean, he's not fine. He is hurt. The woman is unconscious. She was in a fire. So, but her body doesn't look burned or bruised or anything at all. The parts that they show. So the implication is that all of the fire happened below like her shoulder area on her abdomen area is where the fire apparently was concentrated. So the doctor decides, you know, we got to do a skin graft because her abdomen was burned. Now, I kind of feel like if a person, I don't know how fires go. I don't know if they automatically do skin grafts if you are burned. And really, so he was like, the Dr. Keeley was like, we should probably take her to the hospital, but I want to do this experimental skin graft procedure. So if we take her to the hospital, we're not going to be able to do it. So we just going to go ahead and do it here. Now, he didn't get any permission. He didn't ask anybody. He didn't even ask her boo cup. He wasn't her husband. He was just her boyfriend. But I feel like he should ask her. I mean, ask him. He asked nobody. He just made an executive decision as a mad scientist, because this is what the fuck mad scientists do, that he about to do this experimental skin graft treatment on his bitch while she's knocked the fuck out. And then, like, don't tell nobody about it except for the people in the room. So he cut the skin off of her thigh. They like, I'm going to send this shit to get treated with stem cells. Now, side note, I did not know these were stem cells. He said some sciencey term about what he was about to get done with the treatment. But Joe Bob in his thing that I was watching, he informed me that what essentially they were doing was getting the skin treated with stem cells. So they send the skin off. This bitch got to be in a medically induced coma the whole time. And then when they come back, they graft that shit on her and she's still in a coma for a little bit. So she's still comaed out. They tell her boo cup, yo, you can bounce. You know, we'll wake you up on this bitch. We'll call you when she wake the fuck up. But in the interim, you could leave. So he leave. She in a coma. Now, a superstar dude, he come to the clinic. He about to have another procedure. He there. He like, yo, I'm trying to get better. You know, they like, you just had some shit. He like, yeah. I'm getting some more shit. So he there walking around at night, checking on himself, looking like, you know, in a mirror. And he hears somebody screaming. Porn star wake up. She's screaming in her room. She pulling the IV out her arm. Now, in this clinic, this plastic surgery facility, they do have nurses and stuff, but she's screaming and nobody comes. She pulling IV out her arm. No bells or whistles go off. I'm like, I realize that this is not a hospital, which is supposedly close by, but I feel like y'all should have, like, you know, if you have people that are, if you are medically inducing somebody to be in a fucking coma, you should be like monitoring them a little bit more closely. So anyway, she wake up. He come in there. He like, yo, bitch, what's wrong? She done screamed her shirt off. I don't know how, but whatever. She screamed her shirt off. And, you know, he like trying to calm her down. Like, yo, bitch, what's wrong? What's wrong? He don't even like me to her. He don't like try to hug her. I mean, he didn't put her shirt back on or cover her with a blanket in any way. But he did not immediately like start trying to grab her titties because she ain't having no bra. So she's like, oh, my God, I've been in this medically induced coma for so long. She didn't say that, but I've been in this medically induced coma for so long. I just need to hold someone. And he's like, what? She's like, yes, please just hold me. So he's like, fine, you know, I'll hold you, bitch. So he started holding her and she like rubbing on him and stuff and like looking like she about to bust one from just him holding her. And he kind of like, all right, I mean, this is cool and everything, but you was just in a coma. Like, we should call somebody and, you know, we should get the people. And she's like, no, just hold me. So while he's holding her, this vampire worm kind of come out her side where the skin graft was, bite him and start sucking his blood. And then it's kind of got like a poison in it. So it like hypnotizes you and numbs the area of which it bit. And then you also have no memory of what happened afterwards. So This bitch lay back down. He stumbled out the room all bloody and shit. The doctors, the nurses finally come and they're like, oh, what happened to you? What happened to you? They bring him in. They look at him like nothing's really wrong. So they're like, we're going to keep you here. We think you had a stroke. We'll keep you here. We take you to the hospital in the morning, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He bounced. He called a taxi. He sneaked the fuck out. So when he get into the taxi, they drive it away is when the zombie virus has now incubated inside him and turning him into a zombie. And then he bite the cab driver and then they crash and die. So, and this time, now the virus is out, but nobody knows about the virus because the superstar and the cab driver are the only two people who have been affected and they both died. So this bitch is still in the plastic surgery clinic. Like, they know she woke, but they're like, bitch, you can't leave yet because, you know, we got to check you out. So, but while she's there, she realizes that once she felt better after that vampire worm came out her side and they ate that dude's blood. So she knows she kind of got to like sneak out and figure out how she going to get this blood from people. So it's really like she kind of like a drug addict inadvertently. So the first time she sneak out, she end up finding a barn and she try to hug up on this cow and the cow blood make her sick. So she throw up. Just so happens the town drunk also wanders into the barn. And so she hug up on him. She get the vampire worm and get his blood. And then the next day, he zombie the fuck out at the town diner and start biting people at the diner. So now the outbreak is like spreading because he biting motherfuckers. Then she ends up back in the clinic. It's spreading, but it's not like fully known what's happening just yet. So when she ended back up in the clinic, she ended up blood sucking on one of the other patients in there. She get that bitch. And then she ended up blood sucking on the Dr. Keloid. So after she blood sucked on Dr. Keloid, he getting ready to do a surgery. And then he fucking zombie out at the surgery. And that's when everybody else like, oh shit, like we got a problem. So the people come, the CDC, the police, they lock him the fuck up. And during all this melee and hubbub, this bitch sneaks out. Now, before that happened, before she blood sucked on Dr. Keloid, she had called her boo cup and was like, yo, I need you to come get me. He was like, all right, I'll come get you tomorrow. So then she blood sucked Dr. Keloid. Then the next morning, he zombied the fuck out. She snuck out and then all the people came, locked him the fuck up. So Dr. Keloid is like zombieing the fuck out. They like, shit, we got a problem. We got an epidemic. Like, it's some kind of outbreak. We need to find, like, where this shit started at. So her boyfriend ends up on the way there. This bitch is gone. She finds some people on the way to blood suck up on. He, by the time he gets to the clinic, they now know it's a full outbreak. They're like, yo, you can't leave. We got to test you. And then they end up developing a vaccine, which works if you take it before you have been bitten by the zombie. So her boyfriend get the vaccine. All the people at the place get the vaccine. One of his friends is like the person driving him around. You know, he get the shit. And so eventually they need to leave to go. He needs to leave to go find his girl. He's like, I got to find her. But he got to stay there for like 2 days. So this bitch leave. She out blood sucking on people in the streets. She gets some dude that's in a porn theater, and she ended up crashing at her best friend's house. So her boyfriend had called her best friend like, yo, if you get this bitch there, like, keep her. She like, bet, I'm a keeper. So she gets to the best friend's house. When she ended up sucking on the porn dude, blood sucking the dude at the porn movie theater was after she got to her best friend's house because she didn't want to blood suck up on her best friend. So she went, she did the porn dude. She came back, you know, she in and out or whatever. And now she's starting to feel terrible because she hadn't blood sucked on nobody. So her friend is like, girl, what's wrong? What's wrong? What you need? What you need? And she's trying to like tell her like, no, girl, like I need you to get the fuck out of here because I don't want to blood suck up on you. But she don't. And she ended up blood sucking up on her friend. So she blood sucking up on her friend. In the interim, her boyfriend finally leave. Him and his friend leave. And his friend is like, yo, drop me off at my crib so I can check on my boo and my baby. When he gets to his house, his boo had turned into a zombie. And his boo had killed their baby, y'all. They didn't show the baby dead. But they showed, like, the blood. They implied that his boo killed their baby. And then I think his boo might have killed him. Or he killed the boo. But really, once the baby thing happened, it wasn't shit else they could do for that part. So, back to the other people. So, now, porn star is sucking blood sucking up on her best friend. And then her boyfriend come like, bitch, what is you doing? Why is you blood sucking up on her? And she was like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, I'm getting so hungry. Like, I got to eat this. I need the blood suck up on her. And then he was like, yo, like, you the problem. Like, you causing, it's you. You done spread this shit, like, all across the, you know, this little fucking town, this countryside. Everybody got this fucking zombie virus because of you, bitch. And she like, no, it's not me. Blah, blah, blah. So they like arguing. She run out. He chase her. They get in the stairwell. He end up falling down the stairs and getting knocked the fuck out. So she like, you know what? You wrong in her mind. I am not the person who is causing this problem, and I'm going to prove it to you. So she end up finding some dude in the lobby, and she's like, yeah, I'm about to blood suck up on him, and then I'm going to prove, because he is not going to turn into a zombie, that I am not the problem. So this is her plan. She called her boo up on the phone. He finally answered, because he go back to her best friend's house. He answered the phone there. She's like, yo, listen, I'm about to prove to you that it's not me. I blood sucked up on him. He is not going to turn into a zombie. And then you're going to see that, you know, I'm cool. And so while she's on the phone talking to her boo cup, she got this dude behind her, like, sitting in the chair. She's not looking at him. She's paying zero attention. Her boo is like, yo, bitch, seriously, though. He going to turn into a zombie and he going to fucking kill you, because people turn super violent when they zombie the fuck out, which is how come it's such a problem. So she's like, no, no, that's not what's going to happen. He's like, no, bitch, listen, you got to get the fuck out of there. So she's just like, honey, just stay on the phone with me. I just want to talk to you. It's been so long. All of this shit. In the interim, the dude she done blood sucked up on get the fuck up, and he zombie over to this bitch, and then he fucking kill her. And then all of the people in the streets, they had told everybody who wasn't a zombie to stay inside, and they had like snipers everywhere, and they just killed everybody who had turned into a zombie. I mean, they was gonna die anyway, and then you had to kill them, or they was gonna spread the virus. But that was it. So her last victim killed her because, you know, she didn't believe it. She didn't believe Fat Meat was greasy. Did he die? Did they show anything that happened to him? I don't remember. But anyway, that's what happened. She did not want this plastic surgery. She got this shit. She did not ask for it. And she ended up getting a fucking vampire worm that made her blood suck up on people that she was not trying to blood suck up on. She ended up passing around this virus because her vampire worm was fucking a carrier. And then she passed the shit on to other people, and she created an epidemic, and she wasn't even trying to. So, I said four. I mean, it was kind of it drug on a little bit. I mean, you know, the special effects of the vampire killing worm was kind of mediocre at best, but, you know, it was fine. So, I'm gonna give it 3 ninja stars. Like, I probably wouldn't watch it again, and I wouldn't force people to watch it. Like, I wouldn't recommend, like, oh, you should watch this. But I mean, if somebody was like, I want to see something with a vampire killing worm, then I would tell them to watch Rabbit. So that was Rabbit, y'all. I'll be back in a minute with the next movie. Okay, y'all, I am back. So the next movie I watched is called Stuck. It's from 2008. It has 4 out of 5 stars on Amazon Prime and 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. Now, I picked this because it's directed by Stuart Gordon, and it's Challenge on Me, and I get bonus points for watching his shit. So let me read you the synopsis of it. Brandy accidentally steers her car into a homeless man, movingly played by Stephen Ray from The Crying Game, sending him flying through the windshield. Okay, so Brandy is played by Mina Suvari, and she is essentially playing like a hood rat. She got cornrows and shit, but a professional hood rat. Like, she LPN or something at a nursing home. And she's a good worker at the nursing home. The patients love her. She responsible and shit. She always be coming in on the weekend. But this bitch do like to turn the fuck up when she off work. So the movie open up. She is at work, like, this one dude who love her, he done shit all over himself, so she changing him, and then the bitch boss come in, and she like bitchy as fuck. She come in, and she all like, yo, Brandy, I'm really thinking about you for being promoted, so, you know, if you act right, you on my short list of people being promoted. Also, can you come into work on tomorrow? And it was that particular day was Friday, so she like, bitch, can you come to work on Saturday? So she like, you know, she don't want to come, but she was like, I worked last Saturday. Bitch boss is like, yeah, I mean, but people who I'm thinking about being promoted should like kind of work on the weekend. So She ended up saying, like, yeah, fine, fuck it, I'ma come. And then bitch boss leave, her girl come in, her black friend, Sassy Black, and she talking shit about the boss, and a bitch boss walk up, and then not Sassy Black also got to work on the weekend. So they both got to work tomorrow, but they still turning the fuck up tonight. So simultaneously, the other story in the movie is the homeless guy who come crashing through the fucking window. So the movie start with him. He is living in, like, this shithole, like, rent a room type of place, and he lost his job. He's down on his luck. He's staying in his place. His rent is late. And he telling the landlord is like, you got to get the fuck out. Like, get your, you got to fucking bounce. And he's like, yo, I got an interview today, so I'm going to have a job, like, in a minute. Just, like, you know, give me a second. And he like, no, you need to bounce. You got to get the fuck out of here today. And he's like, all right, let me get my stuff. He's like, nope, you can't take your stuff until you pay me the fucking rent you owe me. So he like, fuck. But then a fight start upstairs. So the landlord run upstairs, and then the dude grab, like, a little bit of his shit, and he bounced. So his appointment wasn't a job interview. It was with, like, the employment office or some shit. And they was supposed to have, like, his interview. They didn't have his paperwork in. So the dude was like, yeah, you need to fill this paperwork out. And then once this paperwork is filled out and you mail it in, then we could see you. And he's like, I fucking did all of that. That's how I got this appointment. So the dude was pretty much like Kick Rock show. So now he don't have no place to stay. He carrying all his shit around with him in, like, a bag or some shit. And he thought he was having a job interview today, but he didn't have a job interview. So he, like, fucked up. So he ended up at the park, and he, like, sleeping on the park bench. And eventually, like, the police come and, like, yo, you can't sleep here. And he, like, listen, like, I'm having the worst day of my fucking life. I lost my place. I ain't got no job. I'm broke as fuck. He like, yeah, it's a shelter up the road. You need to get your shit and go to the shelter. So he ended up getting a cart because another homeless black dude, like, was like, yo, I can tell you down on your luck. He had gave him some liquors and an extra cart because he had two carts. So while he's struggling, trying to get his shit together and, I guess, make his way over to the homeless shelter, Brandy is out partying with her girl. She dating this black drug dealer. He cute and shit. He hooking him up with Molly or Ecstasy, whatever the fuck. So they getting turned the fuck up. So they get ready to leave, and they fucked up, right? So they should not be driving. None of them should be driving. But black drug dealer boyfriend and Sassy Black is cool enough to get themselves home. And Brandy like, I'm going to drive myself in her little piece of shit car. So she get her car. She driving home. She ain't fucking paying attention. The homeless dude is on his way to the shelter. This bitch plowed through him, and he crashed through her windshield. Now, the crash through her windshield is like in Creepshow 2 at the end, Thanks for the Ride, Lady, when that lady crashed over that homeless dude, and he, like, essentially the front half of his body from waist up, not waist up, maybe mid-chest up, is through her windshield, and the rest of the part of his body is outside on the hood of the car. So this bitch does not, like, she stopped, and she see him crash through, but remember, she also fucked up, so she just drives home and put the fucking car in the garage and leave him in the garage. So she get back to the house, she get in the house, she kind of having a little bit of a panic attack. Her boo cup was meeting her there. He come, she tell him she was in an accident. He was like, you know, are you okay? She was like, I'm fine. She was like, I hit something. He was like, who you hit? She's like, I hit a homeless man. He was like, oh, bitch, you ain't gotta worry about that. Don't nobody care about homeless people. Here, take this other drug, let's fuck and go to sleep. So they take some more drugs, they fuck, they go to sleep. The next day, this bitch got to go to work. She late as fuck to work. She ended up, like, catching a cab to work. Her boyfriend leave. So she don't tell him at this time that, like, no, I hit a homeless man and he's sucking my fucking windshield and he is in the car. So before she even gets to work, like, she going in a garage. She in a garage. She alive as fuck. But he's stuck in a windshield and kind of bleeding and fucking hurt. And so he like, yo, bitch, get me the fuck out of here. And she's like, okay. I'm calling the people. Some people on the way. I'll be back. She leave. She is essentially just running and like, I don't want to fucking deal with this. So she go to work. She get to work. The boss is like, bitch, you late as fuck. Like, where you been? She like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Blah, blah, blah. She tell her sassy black friend, like, yo, bitch, cover for me. Like, some shit came up. I got to roll to the crib real quick, but I'm going to be back. So sassy black, fine. You know, I'll cover for you, bitch, but don't be gone all day. So she get back to the house, and I think she felt like maybe she was going to, like, kill him, or I guess she thought maybe he would be dead by now, but he not dead. And he like, yo, bitch, like, what is you doing? I need you to help me get the fuck out of this window. she is not here for it. So she's like, fuck. So she leave. She called her boyfriend, like, yo, boyfriend, I, like, really, really need your help. And he's like, yeah, I got you, bitch. I got you, bitch. So she show up at his crib because she done left work. So she need him to come help her with this bullshit. What the fuck ever. So she go to his crib. When she get there, he got another bitch in there. So at first I was kind of like, I mean, you could take Mina Suvari seriously as like a hood rat chick. But when she get to his house and his other bitches at the crib, she pulled this bitch out the bed by her hair and commenced to beating her ass and throwing her the fuck out the house. I was like, all right, okay. It's just some shit I wouldn't have done, but I also wouldn't be dating a drug dealer. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So she throw the bitch out. She like, listen, I didn't tell you like for real what was happening. Like, it's a dude fucking stuck in my windshield. Like, you said you was good. Like, you could take care of this. You could help me out. Like, whatever. So she rope him into helping her take care of the situation. So they get to the house. The dude is stuck in the window. Oh, before they get to the house, the neighbor kid, like, the dude is in the window like crying out. And a couple of times people have walked past and almost seen him in there. So some dude was walking his dog, the dog went over there, he almost saw him through the garage door. But then this little kid who lived next door actually did see him through the garage door. He go tell his mom, and they're Hispanic, so he go tell his mom. They're fucking talking in Spanish and shit, and his mom comes, she see that shit. So they go to the dad like, yo, we need to fucking call the police. And the dad is like, listen, we're not trying to have the people call, the fucking people on us because of this shit. So we just gonna have to, like, this ain't our business. Let's leave it the fuck alone. So he decide, fuck that shit. He didn't even go over there and look. Anyway, so now Brandy and drug dealer boyfriend get back. He like, what the fuck? He finally get in the garage, see what the fuck is happening. And he's like, all right, well, we gonna have to wait till it get dark. Then when it get dark, we're going to kill him, and then we'll go, like, fucking dump his body. So we're going to have to chill. She's like, why we can't do it now? He's like, bitch, it's the middle of the fucking day. We cannot, like, kill this person, like, right now. We don't have to wait till it get dark. So, fine. So they chilling at the house, taking drugs, drinking, fucking do whatever the fuck. Sassy Blackie end up showing up like, yo, you didn't come back to work. Boss bitch is mad as fuck. Like, what the fuck, bitch? And they don't want to tell Sassy Black what's going on. So drug dealer boyfriend get his bitch some drugs, and she bounced. So she leave, and then it get late, and so now it's dark, and Brandy like, all right, like, get the fuck out there, kill him, and let's move forward with this plan. So, great. In the interim, the dude in the car he tried to call the police, like, he got her phone once, because she had left her phone in the car. He called the police, but he don't know where he is to tell them how to come get him. So he like, I'm stuck in a fucking car. They think he had pranked and hang up on him. He doing all this shit while he's stuck in his car trying to save his fucking life. He end up wiggling himself out the fucking windshield some kind of way. Okay, he get the fuck out the windshield and get inside the car. So when the boyfriend come in to try to kill him, he see he out the fucking windshield. He open the door. He trying to grab him up. They fight. Homeless dude killed the fucking boyfriend, right? So boyfriend is fucking killed. He come over here trying to help this bitch. He end up getting his own fucking self killed. So he killed, and homeless dude is trying to like get the fuck out of this situation. So Brandy come in. They get into a fucking fight inside the garage. They fighting. They going back and forth, tussling, what the fuck ever. She trying to kill him. He trying to kill her. Before that happened. So she end up, he took the gun from the boyfriend, right? And so she is like, yo, don't shoot me. I'm sorry. We can go to the police, whatever. Put the gun down. He kind of lower his hand. This bitch lunge at him. So she trick him, like, trick this motherfucker. So some kind of way, he end up in a car and end up pinning this bitch is like in the car, like behind a wall or something. He end up pinning this bitch behind a car, actually just running the car into her and killing her on the wall, essentially. Because after they fought, he got the gun. She was like pleading with him, like, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. You know, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And as soon as he put the gun down, this bitch like went to grab a knife or something to try to kill him. So he's like, damn, bitch, you ran over me, got me stuck in the window. And then because the whole movie, she's like, this isn't my fault. It's not my fault. You just walked out there, blah, blah, blah. It's not my fault. It's like, yeah, dog, but you could have called the fucking police. She didn't call nobody. So she had tried to call the police once, but she didn't. She hung up the phone. So anyway, so he ends up in a car. The car, he dragged that shit and pinned this bitch to the wall. And then he, you know, tried to limp himself out. And then the neighbors finally come and help him to safety. But that was it. So the boyfriend died, Brandy died, Sassy Black went home. She never learned about it probably till afterwards. And a homeless dude stuck in the window did end up fucking living. Like, he literally had probably the worst day of his motherfucking life. So, you know, I was stuck. It was pretty good. Like, everything happened over the course of one day. We only had a couple of scenes in the nursing home, in her fucking garage, her place, where her boyfriend plays. All the acting was really good. Like, Mina Suvari was real believable as, like, this little neighborhood thought or whatever. Lusting after this one dude. He was cute. And I really liked the story. Like, the homeless dude never gave up. Like, he really was like, fuck this. I'm not fucking dying stuck in this fucking window. This bitch, and the whole time she was being, like, real caring about it. Like, oh, it's not my fault. I can't believe this happens. Like, no, bitch, it was your fault. You was on your phone fucking texting and driving, not paying attention. Ran into this dude, but because you was high and drunk as fuck, you did not want to call the police. So you're just going to drive him to your house, leave him in a fucking garage, hope he die. I don't know how she thought she was going to get his body out of her car with a fucking person in the windshield, but whatever. She just figured out she's just going to ignore it until I don't know what happens. But anyway, that was Stuck. I really liked it. I gave that 4 ninja stars. So if you want to watch that shit, it's on Tubi and on Amazon Prime. It was real good. Again, 4 ninja stars for Stuck. I'll be back in a second for the last movie, which is going to be Hellraiser. All right, y'all. For the final installment of this minicap, I'm going to tell y'all about Hellraiser. I watched this because within my challenge, we got bonus points for watching all the Saw movies and or all the Hellraiser movies. I watched all the Saw movies, all 8 of them. I will tell y'all the last one was the most unnecessary of any of the Saws. Like, they just added a story that was completely just fucking made up. Anyway, I did attempt to watch the Hellraisers by watching the first one and then the second one, and then I was out. I just couldn't watch anymore. Hellraiser was almost the precursor to Saw, but like more demonic and evilly and, but on the same level of torturous and gross and disgusting. So I watched Hellraiser and it has 4.5 stars on Amazon Prime. It is 7 out of 10 stars on IMDb. It's 1 hour and 33 minutes. It's from 1987, rated Aura. And here is the synopsis. Frank believes he holds the key to ultimate pleasure, but instead unlocks a portal to hell, dishing out ultimate punishment in this horror classic. This was directed by Clive Barker, and there's a whole bunch of people in it who I don't know and probably have seen in some things, but it's irrelevant. And as you know, we don't really talk about that here. So let me tell y'all what this is about. All right. So this movie starts out with Uncle Frank. He, I guess, is bored with life and regular sex, and he really wanted to take his shit to the next level in some multidimensional shit. So he is in a desert somewhere. He meets this dude at some kind of, you know, weirdo swap meet and gets a box. He takes the box back to his ancestral home and decided to open it the motherfucker up and see what's about to pop out. So he opened it up and out comes Pinhead and the Cenobites. So they look evil as fuck, but I guess they're supposed to be kind of like evilly sex demons or something. I don't know. But they like, yo, Uncle Frank, you called us and it's about to go down. But not in the way you think, because we about to take you to hell. So some chains come out of from wherever the hell the chains come out of, the box, whatever, and they rip Uncle Frank's skin off. And he, air quotes, dies, but he disappears and his skin is gone. So now we fast forward to 6 months later or sometime later, and Uncle Frank's brother has inherited the ancestral home because Uncle Frank's been gone. So they know he was chilling in the house for a little while, but they don't really know how long. They don't know when he left. They don't know what he was doing there. They have no information. So they move into the house. It is Uncle Frank's brother and his new wife, evil stepmom, Julia. So he also has a daughter, Lily White. She is going to come and move into the city. So she's close to them, but she's not going to actually move into the house. She's going to get her own place because she grown. So brother and evil stepmom moving into the crib. When they get to the crib, y'all, it's gross. Like, it's trash everywhere. It's not cleaned up. It's rats in this motherfucker. They do not clean it up. They do not, like, have a deep cleaning before you move into a house like most people normally would. They just moved a regular clean shit into this dirty motherfucking ancestral home house. Whatever. Fine. So they moving into the house, and while they're moving in,
evil stepmom is walking around, like, looking at the place, all judgy and shit, like, I gotta fucking live here. But also, while she walking around, she having flashbacks of Uncle Frank. Turns out, this bitch and Uncle Frank was having an affair before she even got married to his brother. So, she up in the attic, which is coincidentally where Uncle Frank died, and maybe his Uncle Frank's spirit, like, called her up there. So, she up there in the attic, like, reminiscing and, like, thinking about all these times they used to fuck. And when they were hooking up, he would say stuff to her like, what would you do for me? And she would be like, I'd do anything, Uncle Frank. She didn't call him Uncle Frank, but, you know, you get the gist. She was, like, hot for Uncle Frank's D. So, he's, you know, that she flashing back, yada, yada, yada. While she's having these memories, her husband downstairs moving some shit in with the movers, and he slices his hand on a nail sticking out of the chair, the stair rail, the railing on the stairs. So, he's bleeding profusely. He runs up the stairs. Now, they're only on the first floor of the stairs. He runs up two flights of stairs, past the bathroom, okay, to the attic where evil stepmom is having these flashbacks to Uncle Frank. And he's, like, essentially whining, like, oh, my God, I hurt my head. Fix that, fix that, fix that. He walked past the bathroom, as I said. He could have wrapped this up. But, no, he decides a better idea is to drip blood all through this house, this already dirty house that we just moved into, up into the attic. Now, of course, they don't know that Uncle Frank had opened a puzzle box and brought some demons from hell that ripped his skin off in the attic while he bleeding all over it. But whatever. Had he just went to the bathroom, this whole movie could have never existed. So, he bleeding all in the attic. Evil stepmom like, all right, let's go to the hospital. You're going to need stitches. They leave. Well, the blood soaks into the wood and reignites the energy, spirit, whatever, of Uncle Frank. So, he come back to life. But he not, like, fully back to life. He is, like, a body with, I guess he has some muscles or something. I don't know. He didn't have any skin. He wasn't bloody yet. He gonna get bloody. But he just, like, whatever you would have before your blood, I don't know. It was gross and disgusting. But he was weak and yada, yada, yada. So, he up in the attic, like, coming back to life. They go get his brother's hand sewed up. They come back. Evil stepmom ends up back in the attic again, dreaming about Uncle Frank. So when she get up there, now Uncle Frank is here. He's like, yo, bitch, I'm back. What? But don't look at me because I'm gross and I ain't got no skin and it's going to freak you out. So she like, what? And he's like, no, yes, it's me. So she look at him and he ain't got no skin and it's gross and he freak her out. So he was like, yo, I know I'm crazy and gross and shit right now, but Hear me out. Remember when we was fucking and I was like, what would you do for me? And you was like, anything. Well, now I would like to call in that solid for the anything. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, as you see, I don't have any skin. So what I need you to do is like, give me some victims over here so I can like suck their lifeblood, soul energy or whatever. And then it'll help me grow some skin. So she was a little bit hesitant. He was like, come on, bitch. She was like, I'll do anything. And she was kind of like, well, I did say I'll do anything. Like, it's a fucking contract. Like, they got, well, maybe she did have a contract. She was hot for his D like bad. So anyway, so she agreed. I will be your skin hoe, and I will go out here, and I will find some people to bring back here so you can do whatever you need to do to get some skin. So, she set about this plan, and she goes out to bars and pretend that she's trying to pick up dudes, like she gonna bring them back to the house to fuck and get them up in the attic, and then she, like, knock them over the head or what the fuck ever, incapacitate them so Uncle Frank can stick his fingers in their neck face area and suck their life soul bloodness out and get himself some more body parts or like another layer of body. So they doing this. He's wearing the clothes of the people that he's killing. And at some point, Lily White's daughter is suspicious that evil stepmom is cheating on her dad. So she decided, I'm about to fucking investigate because I already don't like this bitch and this bitch already don't like me. So if I can get some dirt on her to get my dad to leave her, I am about it. So she go over to the house. She go upstairs in the attic. She see all the motherfucking dead bodies. Now, in the attic with all the dead bodies, it's about 3 to 5 dead bodies like hanging up on chains or whatever the fuck in this attic. She's freaking the fuck out, obviously. You would think that her dad would maybe smell these dead bodies in the attic. Because this isn't like all happening over one day. Like, evil stepmama have to go out multiple times to get dudes to bring back to the house. So it's got to be a release a week or something. But he don't smell these dead bodies in the attic. Just, I mean, okay, fine. They also didn't do shit about the rats. So anyway. So She see this gross shit in the attic. Uncle Frank like, yo, what's up, niece? She grabbed the puzzle box. He chased her. He's like, oh, I remember you. You look so good now. Whatever. He's saying creepy shit to her. He's like, come to daddy. He's being like a grosso. So he chasing her. She's scared as fuck. Also because he don't have no skin. And at this point, he like bloody. He had the layer of rejuvenation that he got a blood layer on top of him, like his muscles or something. And he got on like a bloody suit. It's disgusting. So he chasing her with the puzzle box. She throw the box out the window. She run out the house. She pass it on the ground with the box. So she wake up in the hospital. And the detectives are like, what happened to you? You bloody as fuck. You got this box. She like, I don't know what happened. So they leave her to like collect her thoughts. Well, instead of collecting her thoughts, she decide, I'm going to fuck this box and open it up. She opened the box up and Pinhead and the Cenobites come out like, hey, bitch, you called us from hell. So somebody got to go back to hell with us because that's what happened when the box opened. The box opened. We come out. Whoever opened it, we take them to hell with us. So you opened it. Let's bounce. She's like, hey, just hold up. I don't really want to go to hell. And when I opened this box, I didn't realize I was opening it for an opportunity to go to hell. I didn't really know what this was. I stole it from my weird Uncle Frank, who was trapped in the attic. Who, by the way, if I do recall, because I know everything that's happened for some reason, maybe he told her when he was chasing her, he got away from y'all. So how about I take y'all to Uncle Frank and y'all take him back to hell instead of me? So she decides to negotiate with Pinhead and the Cenobites. And Pinhead is like, you know what? Bet. We are mad that Uncle Frank, like, bust up out of hell and he not there no more. So, yes, if you can get Uncle Frank to us, then we down for this plan. So she like, bet. So she sneak out of the hospital. I think she called her boo cup or he was there or whatever. Her boo cup come with her. He's irrelevant at this point once we get to the house until the end because he show up again. So she gets to the house. Before she gets to the house, while she was in the hospital calling Pinhead and them, Uncle Frank was killing her dad and taking his skin. So when she gets to the house, Uncle Frank got her dad's skin on. And so she thinks that this is her dad. Now, side note, around his hairline, it's like all bloody and gross and disgusting. So and all the way like around his face. So this is, I guess, the area in which Uncle Frank has applied his brother's face. Also, coincidentally, they happen to be the same size, shape, and everything. So his skin just fits perfectly on Uncle Frank. Yep, perfect. So she don't notice all this bloody shit, and she like hugging him and stuff. And he's trying to kiss her and being like real grosso. So eventually, Uncle Frank come out of, you know, his brother's shell by saying some gross Uncle Frank shit. And she realized Uncle Frank, they're running through the house. He chased her. Evil stepmom grab her, and he tried to stab Lily White, but she moved and he ended up stabbing evil stepmom. And he's like, sorry, bitch. Like, I know that you had did anything for me, but you know, it's how the cookie crumbles. Sorry. So Lily White run away. Pinhead and the Cenobites show up like, yo, you know, we here, Uncle Frank, we here for a motherfucking soul. And so he tossed Julia on a mattress and he run off. So one of the Cenobites come, they do get that bitch. Julia is out and Julia's evil stepmom. Sorry. They take evil stepmom. She gone. Uncle Frank run up to the attic. He trying to, I don't know if Lily White got him up there, but whatever the case, they up in the attic. And Pinhead and them is like, yo, Lily White, this ain't for you. You should raise up. She does not immediately raise up. She stays in there and watches far longer than a person should after an evil demon tell you this ain't for you. So anyway, the chains come out. They rip Uncle Frank's skin off again. They take him back to motherfucking hell. So Lily White run finally. And then Pinhead and them is like, yo, hey, we know that we have made a deal to, like, just take Uncle Frank. Plus, we got bonus evil stepmom, but we demons and we don't give a fuck. So, bitch, we want you to come to hell with us, too. And she like, what? And they like, yes. So, she's like, I don't want to do that, as previously discussed in the deal that we made. So, I'm going to run around this house for the next 5 to 10 minutes. I still have the puzzle box, and then I show individually solve these puzzles, and as I solve them, then each one of these Cenobites shall then return to hell, and I shall be free of this, which is exactly what she did. So all she really did was solve the puzzles and send them back to hell with like some electronic zaps and shit. That part was real whack. And her boyfriend, I don't know where he was this whole time, but now he's there, and the house is imploding, and they escape, and then she lives. So Lily White makes it out. The Pinhead and the Cenobites take Uncle Frank. They take evil stepmom. Uncle Frank took his brother out, and all of this happened because Uncle Frank was like bored with regular sex, and Eagle stepmom was like thirsty as fuck for his D. Like, she couldn't even think about anything else but finding people to sacrifice so he could be get some motherfucking skin. So, you know, this is when trying to, first of all, ladies, don't love D so much that it take you to hell, because that's essentially what happened. She was so thirsty for his dick that she ended up going to hell and getting her motherfucking skin ripped off by some Cenobites. Yeah, they ripped off Evil Stepmom's skin too. So, that was Hellraiser, y'all. Would I watch it again? I mean, I would. If it was on, I would probably look at it. I'm gonna give it 3 ninja stars because it's a classic, and the special effects were super good because it was all practical effects except for that lasery shit at the end when she was sending them back to hell, except for that part. But I would give it 3 ninja stars if you enjoy listening to me tell you about Hellraiser and also my very first mini cap, which is probably going to be like 45 minutes or some shit like that. Then please send me an email to ghostninjaraccoon@gmail.com and say some kind words or suggest a movie that you would like me to watch for you. And you can also follow me on Instagram @ghostninjaraccoon. Until then, I hope you have enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for next time. Peace out.